America's most talked about program, brought to you by Hazel Bishop Long Lasting Lipstick, Hazel Bishop Long Lasting Nail Polish, and Hazel Bishop Long Lasting Complexion Glow. And now, here he is, Mr. This Is Your Life himself, Ralph Edwards.
Don't go away tonight, I warn you. Don't leave the set. This is going to be terrific. Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us again on This Is Your Life. Now, tonight we have a startling surprise in store for you. Now, listen to this. We're going to recreate not one, but two lives. Wait till you see who they are. Now, right now, our two subjects are in room 205 of the Hollywood Knickerbocker Hotel. That's just a short block from here, just behind our theater, as a matter of fact. And they're talking to a friend of theirs, one of England's most prominent producers, Mr. Bernard Delphont of London, whom we've brought here to Hollywood just to make our surprise work. Now, listen, we have a television camera hidden behind French doors in the kitchenette, you see, of the hotel suite over there. Now, on my signal, the door will fly open. The doors will go open, the lights will go on, the speaker will go on so they can hear, and, well, you'll see what happens, I think. All right, now. Everything ready, boys? Here we go. Take it away. Camera number 5 in the kitchenette of Suite 205 at the Hollywood Knickerbocker Hotel. Here we go. Mr. Stan Laurel, Mr. Oliver Hardy. The El Capitan Theater on Vine Street here in Hollywood. Your very good friends there, Mr. Bernard Delphont. Mr. Delphont, hello. Where are, yeah, there you are. And Mr. Ben Shipman. Hello, Mr. Shipman.
Hello, sir.
Yes, they have joined with us in this surprise tribute to one of the greatest comedy teams of our time. Two heads, two bodies, but one big laugh for over 30 years. Tonight, this is your life. I should say these are your lives. Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. Laurel and Hardy. Now, Stan and Oliver, Laurel and Hardy, we have a wonderful evening planned for you. Please hurry downstairs and come over to our theater stage. Mr. Delphont, how you doing, boys? 50 million of your fans are eager to see your lives unfold. Lives that have brought the blessing of laughter to a... to a troubled world for some 35 years. While we wait for Laurel and Hardy to arrive, well, anything can happen tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we have another surprise for you. Our own Joanne Jordan singing a cute new song.
For lips to kiss and cheeks that glow, 10 pretty fingers you're proud to show. Put Hazel Bishop on, makeup troubles will be gone. For Hazel Bishop stays on and on and on and on. Stays on.
Yes, girls, if you want lips to kiss and cheeks that glow and 10 pretty fingers that you're proud to show, I've got everything you need, and it's here. Right here, this fabulous Hazel Bishop Beauty Box. Yes, now, for the first time, Hazel Bishop brings you the three color cosmetics you need most. They're beautifully packaged together for blondes, for brownettes and brunettes, and for grays and redheads, too. Hazel Bishop long-lasting lipstick, Hazel Bishop long-lasting nail polish, and Hazel Bishop long-lasting complexion glow. Now, here is the best news of all. If bought separately, they'd cost you $2.45. But in this Hazel Bishop beauty box, you get all three for only $2. So tonight or tomorrow, sure, get the best beauty buy ever. A Hazel Bishop beauty box.
Hazel Bishop beauty box.
Hazel Bishop beauty box.
Right, thank you, Bob Warren and Joanne Jordan. Now, this is the first time, ladies and gentlemen, we've ever brought you two lives at once. Whether we're going to bring them to you or not tonight, we don't know, because they're due to arrive any second from the Hollywood Knickerbocker right behind us here. The lives of Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. And if you've just tuned in, stick around, because from what's gone on beforehand, this is liable to be the greatest night that we've ever spent on This Is Your Life. We've had more fun preparing this program, I believe, than we have any of the programs that we've done. We even went to the trouble of bringing Mr. Bernard Delphont all the way from London, New York, here, just to surprise these two boys, because Mr. Ben Shipman, their manager and longtime friend, said, look, there's only one person, I think, who will fool these two fellas or who's going to command enough interest for them to get away from their home, their wives, long enough. Of course, they brought their wives down with them. You saw them there, and you're going to see them a little later. To get them away and to fool them, that would be Mr. Delphine. And so that's what we did. And I'm still talking. I'd like to say a few words about Texas, you know. I may have to talk for 2 minutes before these guys get here. No, seriously, we have received more cooperation on this program than we have on practically any program that we have done. We received cooperation on everyone. But on this, everybody loves Oliver and Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. For myself, this is sort of a little personal thing, because I think those of us who are in the in certain lines of comedy, go back to another show that I have, why, maybe some of the things we learned pretty much from watching these fellas. I can remember in knee pants going down to the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland and watching. They took a taxi, did they, boys? We timed this out before, and I said, I can go. They're here? Oh, thank goodness, because that was my last ad lib. Here they come now, our two principal subjects, Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. I think I have been told. Oh, my. This is more than a two-reeler. Here they come.
Great, wonderful thrill for us, Sandy, boys. Let them get a look at you. Coast to coast. You don't mind this prick we pulled on you? Because, boy, this guy, Delphont, and... But sit down over here. I think you sit right over... We had to go sit over there. Mr. Hardy over there. Stan Laurel.
Right here, if you will, please.
Yes, no, right here. Oh. That's it. No, over. That's it. Snuggle... Are you going to be room for all three of you, two of you there?
Yes, I guess that's going to be fine. Okay. You know, we had it worked out. We thought we'd better put you in a car to get you around, but then I know we run into a lot of trouble that way. We should have had you run it. Or maybe you did.
Boys,
you did. All right. These are your lines. Well, that's familiar. It said that laughter is the highest gift of the gods. Well, sometime near the start of the 20th century, it came time for you to be born, Stan and Oliver, so laughter rolled down from the blue vault of the skies and broke into two parts. You, Stan Laurel, are the first half. You're born at Ulverston in Lancashire, England, right, Stan? And your stage name is now Stan Laurel. What was your real name, Stan? You want to tell me? You want to tell
me? My real name?
Your real name.
Jefferson.
Jefferson. That's nice.
Stanley?
Was there a name before that?
Arthur
Stanley. When English schoolmasters called the roll and came to the name of Arthur Stanley Jefferson, they seldom got an answer. Why was that, Stan? Were you there all the time? Sometimes. You used to sort of like to skip school once in a while, didn't you?
Once in a while.
Once in a while. And as you... What are you laughing at, Mr. Hardy, over here?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. As you grow up, Father tries hard to get you to learn the business end of the theater.
That's right. Stan took tickets at the box office, but longed for the day when he could take a funny fall or say a funny line on the stage.
Now, there's a voice from your boyhood days, Stan. I don't know if you can guess whose voice it is or not. No, he was your childhood playmate, and he's flown here from England to surprise you. From North Shields, England, here's your friend, Mr. Roland Park. Roland Park! And then Mr. Hardy over here, Roland. Yeah, so Stan longed to be a comedian from boyhood, did he, Mr. Park?
That's right. I remember his first chance on the stage when his father had the Metropole Theatre in Glasgow. You remember that, Stan? And... Stan was there doing his stuff, and while he was parading up and down, there was a gentleman sitting right in the front of the stalls, and he kept looking at Stan, and Stan thought, I seem to know that face.
Yeah, who did you see sitting there, Stan? Who was that? Your father?
Yeah, my father.
You make a fast exit, and the tailcoat got in the act, too, didn't it, Mr. Park?
Oh, yes. Stan had, you remember you borrowed your dad's coat, a long tailcoat, was far too big for him, you know, trailing along the ground there, and there was Stan walking along. Got his coat in there, pulled the coat right in two, and of course later on Stan, with the tails over one arm and the rest over the other, had to march home. What happened when he got home? Heaven known to you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Roland Park, for coming from England to tell us that Stan Laurel will save you as a boy comedian.
You'll see him a little later.
Well, shortly after you're born, Stanley, a similar event is taking place in the town of Harlem, Georgia, USA. Yes, that face is unmistakable, isn't it? You haven't changed a bit. Oliver Harding. Thus, on January 18th, 1892, a full 10 pounds of good humor and future laughter are born to Miss... Oh, I've forgotten the date. Yes, I think it was in there somewhere.
No, it was 14 pounds.
Oh, 14 pounds. Oh, I see, yes. That's what your mother said? Well, at any rate, you were born to Mr. and Mrs. Oliver Hardy of Harlem, Georgia. Now, Mr. Hardy, what is your real first name?
Norville.
I didn't get it.
Norville, N-O-R-V-E-L-L.
Norville, yes, sir. You are the youngest of five children. After your father's death, you adopt his first name. Now, most of your boyhood is spent in the town of Milledgeville, Georgia. And there, to support you children, your mother manages the Baldwin Hotel.
Norville and I always walked to school together. Instead of carrying my books, I carried his, so that he could sing and dance all the way there.
Now, can you guess who that is, Oliver?
My sister.
Now, listen. She was your first childhood sweetheart. In fact, another girl, Mary Horn, pulled her hair good and hard once over you. You knew her as Althea Miller. You haven't seen each other for 45 years. Here from Macon, Georgia, is your friend, Mrs. Althea Miller Horn. Come on, Althea. Yes, that's Mr. Laurel over there. Oliver was always happy and always singing as a... what'd you say?
I said she's still beautiful.
Isn't she there? And he was always happy and singing as a boy there in Milledgeville, wasn't he, Miss Horn?
He always loved to sing, but he didn't like his singing lessons.
Oh, yeah?
His mother met his teacher one day and asked how his lessons were coming along. And she said he hadn't been in over a week.
Well, what else do you remember of his boyhood, Althea?
I remember him as a very brave boy. In fact, he went into the Oconee River to save his brother Sam from drowning. And he pulled him out, and he and Arthur Skinner gave artificial respiration. It's too late. He's been in the water too.
That's a pretty heroic thing for him to have done. Thinking of others before yourself is a habit you formed in earliest boyhood, Oliver Hardy. Thank you, Mrs. Althea Horn. You're going to see me later. Now, down, boys. We return to your life, Stan Laurel. Your father encourages you, gets you an engagement with Levy and Cardwell's Juvenile Pantomimes. You're just 17. 1910, you tour America and here decide to remain to play in your own act, an American vaudeville.
One of Stan's acts was being a funny burglar. He got such howls of laughter, he was signed up for his first comedy movie.
Now, do you recognize that voice, Mr. Laurel? You may not. He was technical advisor on one of your early movie comedies in 1922. He's now president of Pan American Television Corporation. Here's your good friend, Mr. Frank Faust. Frank Faust. Look, Frank, you remember a time when Stan ran for his life in order to get a laugh in a movie, don't you, Faust?
Well, Stan had the courage to take the personal risks of it involved us. A good comedy scene, but he encountered a bull one time without any sense of humor.
A bull?
Yeah. We were making a comedy takeoff on Rudolph Valentino's Blood and Sand, and in the scene, Stan was supposed to let this bull chase him down the street.
What was his name in the...
Rhubarb Vasolino.
Oh, yeah.
And as it turned out, by the time the camera started grinding, the bull caught up to Stan and almost killed him. After the real scare was over, we gave him another fright just as a joke.
How was that, Faust?
Well, we told him that the camera didn't get the picture and that the scene would have to be shot over again.
Thank you, Frank Faust. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, in a moment, we'll find out what you were doing at this same period of time, Oliver Hardy, and we'll learn that you two might never have gotten together at all if it hadn't been for a leg of land. But right now, both of you can take a breather, and I know you want it, just for a moment while we turn our attention to Bob Warren.
Thank you, Ralph.
Now, girls, you know the familiar saying, good things come in threes. Well, right now, Hazel Bishop brings you America's three most popular cosmetics in this stunning gift box. Hazel Bishop long-lasting lipstick, Hazel Bishop long-lasting nail polish, and Hazel Bishop long-lasting complexion glow. And what's more, all three of them, if bought separately, would cost you $2.45. But in this Hazel Bishop beauty box, they're yours for only $2.
Well, that's certainly wonderful beauty news. And a perfect Christmas present for every woman. It's so wonderfully convenient for her to use and looks so smart on her dressing table. And every time she puts on her Hazel Bishop cosmetic, she'll think of you. Yes, no matter what else you give her, here's the gift that you can be sure she wants, needs, and hasn't got.
And you know what's best of all? You don't have to worry about sizes or shades. Just tell the clerk at any cosmetic counter the color of her hair. But don't wait until Christmas. Tonight or tomorrow, sure. Go to any drug, variety, or department store and ask for Hazel Bishop's fabulous new beauty box.
Hazel Bishop Beauty Box.
Hazel Bishop Beauty Box.
You know, Oliver Hardy just said the most wonderful thing. He says, it's a funny thing, I never miss your show here. And to think, he says, it sort of fills you up. You bet it does. Back to These Are Your Lives. Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. During your teenage years, you sing to illustrated slides in movie theaters. Oliver, this leads to forming a quartet with three other round and hefty fellas. What name did you call your quartet?
The 20th Century Four.
Yes. And 20th Century, was that the poundage or the... I see.
Well, it's a combination.
Yes. Did you have another name like Half Ton of Harmony or something, was it?
Yes.
Called that. 1913 finds you in Jacksonville, Florida.
Here his friends called him Bay because he never smoked, drank, nor said bad words.
Oh, me. Well, do you recognize that voice, Babe?
No, she
used to be a vocalist, too. Used to sing duets with you at the old Burbridge Hotel in Jacksonville. Here from her home
in
Cincinnati, Ohio, is your friend of long ago, Margaret O'Connor, now Miss James Arata. Here she is. Mr. Laurel, Ms. Arata. Well, now, Margaret, Mr. Hardy made his first movies right there. How's the family? They're swell, huh? Yeah. She tell me how many?
Eight grandchildren.
Eight grandchildren. Isn't that wonderful? Mr. Hardy made his first movies right there in Jacksonville, Florida, didn't he, Ms. Arata?
Yes, and they were so new then, Mr. Edwards, that Babe was called upon to do an intoxicated scene and a street scene. Mm-hmm. And a couple of his Mason friends from the Masonic Lodge saw him reeling down the street. Of course, they didn't know it was a movie. The next day, they had poor Babe up on the carpet, and he had an awful lot of explaining.
Well, thank you, Ms. James Arata of Cincinnati, Ohio. I know they did. You're back there. And everybody loved you there. Well, by the mid-1920s, both of you are in Hollywood. Your paths destined soon to cross at the Hal Roach Studio.
As Oliver Norville Hardy tells it, a leg of lamb brought them together.
I don't know if you recognize that voice, Mr. Laurel or Mr. Hardy. You should. At the time, he was production supervisor at the Hal Roach Studios, and later he worked on your pictures, now known the world over as the famous writer-director of Going My Way, Bells of St. Mary's, My Son John, many, many more great hits, your good friend, director Leo McCarey. Leo. Leo, how did a leg of lamb... sit down, Oliver, and we're going to get at a boy. How did a leg of lamb bring Laurel and Hardy together, eh?
Well, it seems that Babe was cooking a leg of lamb, and for some reason, he left his arm in the oven too long or something. And he got it so badly blistered that we had to cut down his part in the next picture, so we decided to put Stan in the picture, too, to bolster up the comedy, So when we saw the two of them on the screen together, we decided there's a real team.
Yeah, right.
And from that time on, they really went places, all on account of party had a little lamb.
That was the beginning of these famous hats. Leo, you know how to work these better than I. Give them to the boys. Oliver, stand up, please, and just put it up. Stand up. All right. Yeah, did they get the right one? I'm not sure.
No.
Is that the right? No. No, I think they're the... In your pictures, babe, Stan always gets you in trouble. Isn't that right, Mr. Hardy? Now, is there any parallel in real life, Leo?
Well, yes. I remember once when Oliver got in trouble without any help from Stan.
Yeah, well, how's that?
Well, we were shooting a picture up on a... the two of them were building a skyscraper.
Mm-hmm.
And they were up about 40 feet from the ground. And Stan was looked down, standing up with his girder. And he got quite panicky, and Babe tried to quiet him, and
he
said, look, you don't have to worry. There's a safety platform about 15 feet under the scaffold. And Stan looked down, and he said, well, even the safety platform doesn't look safe to me. And Babe tried to quiet him. He says, look, to show you that it's perfectly all right. He said, I'll show you. And he jumped off. Well, it wasn't safe. And the platform slowed him down a little, but he fell 20 and then 20 more feet to the ground.
Well, I know that those boys showed a great deal of courage, though, to do some of the stunts they used to
do. Well, you know, as a matter of fact, I felt that Babe seemed to show more courage than Stan, but he got hurt more often.
Thank you, Leo McCary. Yeah. Thank you very much. From 1927 on, the world takes Laurel and Hardy to its heart. In picture after picture, you throw the spotlight of high comedy upon human existence. The whole world laughs with delight to see the two of you struggle with a heavy piano. Now, maybe you can see it there in the film. It's always Laurel who gets Hardy into trouble, as we'll see right now. See? Shown in this case from one of your early films. Oh, who was that? Oh, I thought that was Bob Warner. No. Well, there you are. Films that are still the delight of all of us, now on television. Even more, to your credit, you're just as much loved behind the scenes by all your associates.
I can truthfully say that it was as much fun to work on a Laurel Hardy picture as it was to see one.
Now, another important voice from your past. Do you recognize it, boys? So many fellas in your past we could parade all of Hollywood and all the world by here. He was general manager of the Hal Roach Studio when you both came there and during the early years of your great success. Hear from his home in Santa Maria, California, your friend, Mr. Warren Doane. Here's Warren. Mr. Doane, can you tell us whether or not Stan and Babe were as funny fellas off camera as they were on?
Yes, they were, and that's why they were so well liked by all their crews.
Yeah.
Once we were hard at work making a very dangerous situation, they were working with making a scene with a lion. And the trainer told them that when a lion is about to give trouble, the color of his eyes will change from yellow to green. One of the boys asked him, by the way, why is your leg bandaged up? The trainer had to admit that the same lion a couple of days before had chewed it up. We all admired them because they went ahead and made that scene, even though it was actually dangerous.
Well, you've been a team in fact as well as name. No one knows that story better than your longtime manager and partner, Mr. Ben Shipman. Ben, come on out here. Here's the coat of service right here. Mr. Shipman, Stan and Oliver.
Yes.
Well, thank you for all your help in fooling these boys. They've been together longer than any comedy team in movies. Isn't it something like 300 films together they made?
Yeah, that's right, sir. And the most enjoyable and most wonderful part about working with them has been to observe their extreme loyalty to one another and the desire to please one another and the desire to make each other successful. It's been a wonderful experience.
Thank you, Mr. Ben Shipman and Mr. Warren Doane. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're right. Well, the years roll along. The 1930s, the 1940s, you keep turning out your clean, wholesome comedy. And during this time, neither of you realizes what an impact you're having on millions of people overseas. Until you undertake a tour of England and Europe in 1947.
Stan and Oliver were completely unprepared for the explosion of joy and welcome that greeted them everywhere overseas. Crowd blocks the streets to catch just one itsy-bitsy side of them.
Someone you helped get started in movies. Today, she's a great star in her own right in movies on the stage, radio, television. Now in Hollywood, making the Sam Goldwyn movie version of Guys and Dolls. Here is your grateful friend, lovely Vivian Blaine. Vivian Blaine, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Vivian, you were in London last year playing in Guys and Dolls when Stan and Oliver made their, what was it, third tour of the British Isles, I think it was. Now, how did the people show their affection for Stan and Babe?
Well, Ralph, they had a most astonishing way of showing their great love for Stan and Ollie, as we all have.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, as the word got out that their ship was about to dock at Cove, Ireland...
Yeah.
The signal went around, all the schools were closed, and thousands of people were at the docks to meet them. And then, a most unusual and wonderful thing happened. The great carolling bells of the Cove Cathedral began ringing. And this time, it had nothing to do with a hymn or an anthem. This time, those wonderful old bells were ringing the cuckoo song.
How about that? Thank you, Vivian Blaine. Thanks, Vivian Blaine. All your success would have been meaningless without someone to share it with you. So let's bring to your side the two ladies who really knew how to keep our secret, your wives. First, your wife, Lucille Oliver, Mrs. Hardy. There she is. There you are. And your wife, Edith, and Mrs. Laurel. There, hello. Oh, and another happy surprise, Stan. Your daughter, Lois, Mrs. Randy Brooks, and here. That's the daughter. These are your lives. You sit here, Stan. Mrs. Laurel, you sit right up there and daughter beside you. And you, Mrs. Hardy, is there room, dear? He could sit on his lap, maybe. Well, your past gathering around you here, your fun and humor have been a tonic for a troubled world. You've given joy to others, a tremendous privilege, which is its own reward. Now, in a moment, we'll take a look into your future. But first, here's Bob Warren with a word about Hazel Bishop.
Now, girls, remember, for a wonderful holiday lift and men for the perfect Christmas gift, get this Hazel Bishop Beauty Box. For the first time ever, you get Hazel Bishop long-lasting lipstick, Hazel Bishop long-lasting nail polish, and Hazel Bishop long-lasting complexion glow. All three packaged together in this one beautiful gift box. All three color matched for your individual complexion. And all three a regular $2.45 value for only $2. But you must hurry. Remember, this is the perfect Christmas gift and a real beauty bargain. That's Hazel Bishop Beauty Box.
Hazel Bishop Beauty Box.
Hazel Bishop Beauty Box.
Yes, thank you very much. Let's look into your future, Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. Tonight, it'll hold the happiness you deserve at a party in your honor at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, where your out-of-town friends have been staying. Now, each of you will receive a 16-millimeter sound film of tonight's program and a Bell and Howell sound projector for rerunning the film. To Mrs. Hardy and Mrs. Laurel, we have these very beautiful charm bracelets, 14-karat gold charm bracelets from Marshall Jewelers, Fifth Avenue, New York, one for each of you, and cufflinks commemorating this night and other nights in your life for you fellas. Now, Stan and Oliver, Hazel Bishop wants, as a lasting honor to your lives, arrange a bronze tablet placed beside the famed old water pool where you were in and out of so much at the Hal Roach Studio, naming it Lake Laurel and Hardy. And here to accept this plaque is your good friend, president of Hal Roach Productions, Mr. Hal Roach Jr. Come out. Hal Roach Jr.
We hope that you've enjoyed this recording. And for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.